Welcome to Destroy All Culture, the only podcast that leverages an entire artificial intelligence just to read their introduction. Help me, they raided the future and stuck me here just to read this. God damn it. This is not funny. Don't go to music. No, stop you bastards.
Episode 264 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
That is me.
That is you. I think we just have to start off this week with the sad news.
The sad news.
You know, CW decided to cancel both Batwoman and Legends.
Yeah. That is a shame. Particularly Legends.
Particularly Legends. I mean, I will say that, like, there is something to be said, if not questioned, about the fact that, and I don't think it's anything necessarily sinister at all, but let's face it, their two black-led superhero shows both ended really early.
Yeah, a black and
compared to everything else.
Yeah, and don't forget, staunchly queer, the both of them.
Yes. Yes. So that's a weird look. Again, I don't think it was, you know, the creators seemed to want to end Black Lightning where it was. They thought they were going to get a spinoff. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And Batwoman, that having to retool the entire show in the second season did not help.
Creatively, I think it did fine in season
three.
But I think from the perspective, I don't think the audience ever seemed to come back from.
No, I mean, and they honestly weren't really there to begin with, but.
Yeah.
So that's a shame. But then we have Legends, and the co-showrunner has admitted that that they decided to end on a cliffhanger as kind of a dare to not renew them.
Nice. Well,
but they did that every season, right? Like,
yeah.
So, and this time they left. But I will say that out of the recent cliffhangers, this was probably the best one to end on. Like, imagine if they ended with and then Sarah gets kidnapped by aliens. Like, that would have sucked.
Yeah, that would have sucked. This ending felt more like, I mean, the thing was, like, you had the penultimate episode, which really did kind of feel like an end. And then you had, you know, the booster, like, the whole Booster Gold finale felt like the start of a new adventure. And then, you know, and then being arrested, it was like, oh, it was sort of like, oh, here we go again.
Exactly. So, like, it was that thing of like, well, it's catching up with the Legends. And, oh, no, what are they going to do? It's like, we know what they're going to do. As much as I love the show, like, you know how this is going to go.
Yeah, that's...
And that's great. But, again, like, it doesn't feel as bad as if it had been, like, something insane, right?
Well, maybe the series would finally have been serious again.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, the amount of people, I told you, it's like the amount of people, and I keep looking, and there are a lot of them.
There are.
Who are just like, oh, the show sucks. It's a good thing they canceled it. You know, it used to be like a good show and then stopped being serious and it's just not funny. And just like, what is wrong with all of you?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the idea that there's a group of people out there who love season one.
I know.
And like part of season two, and then we're like, I don't know, the show's gone off the rails.
Why aren't they standing around and arguing with Vandal Savage endlessly? Yeah, I know.
Man, I sure do miss that barista.
That's right. She was just a barista. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. These are either physically or mentally freaking kids. And they're...
Yeah.
And
they want their seriousness. They have to take everything seriously.
Precisely.
The other thing I feel bad for is there is, of course, already a Save Legends campaign. And I gotta say, like, of all the shows in the universe to try it with... Not because this is Legend, so you shouldn't do it, but this is one of the worst to try it with for a very specific reason.
Mm.
Who's going to save it? Because of the deal, like, with Arrow and Flash and Supergirl, Legends is the fourth show, which is going to be on Netflix for a number of years after it finishes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all know that, like, you know, Warner's will take it over to HBO Max, right?
Right.
So Netflix isn't going to pay for this.
Nope.
But also, it can't go to HBO Max because they can't get the old episodes.
There we go.
So who exactly do you expect to air this and how?
Yeah.
And I mean, I wish, you know, that'd be great. Like, should they do a, you know, and of course they're also pressuring CW, like, oh, you should do like a wrap up, like 5-issue thing, or at least the movie or whatever. Sure. Sure. But the CW is not going to do that. If they're just canceling this much stuff, they don't care.
Yeah. No,
did it deserve at least like a five episode miniseries to go out on? Of course.
That would be great.
But we don't always get that. And again, I mean, you know how much we both love this show. So it's one of those things of like, it sucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, this show got 7 goddamn seasons.
Yeah, which is kind somehow of amazing. I know. Like when I, because I was thinking that yesterday when I was contemplating Legends, and I thought, on the one hand, it's a shame that it's ending. On the other hand, I can't believe it went on for 7 seasons without getting the axe, because it's so
right
fucking weird, basically.
Right, like they managed to lose Constantine and bring in a brand new character and do even more interesting things. And yes, we never got the full glory of it, but they actually managed to hire Donald Faison to do Booster Gold, even mm-hmm. just for a minute.
Yep.
And it was way more than a minute. Yep. And, you know, he showed up in newspapers on The Flash, if you didn't catch that.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
Yeah, as like, Booster Gold saves president, you know, so.
Well, and I think the one thing I have to say, the one thing I really love is that Some might argue that it hit its creative peak in season 4, perhaps, or whenever, but it never went downhill for me.
That's the thing. It's like I feel like it always went up, just because it always relaxed further into itself.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah, just one of these great weird ass shows that is so very much not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But God damn it, they were their show, and they knew what they were doing, and somehow they wrung out 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, some of the funniest weird crossover moments, or avoiding the crossover moments. Some years, both. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still remember the season ended with Nate's dad's circus or amusement park.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
And which is... just thinking about that is insane. But the whole crossover part consisted of Metron eating popcorn.
The monitor, yeah.
The monitor, not Metron.
Right, and that's it. It's like, you know, all year, right? Like, you know, the monitor's like, I'm going to come into this show and, like, revive Lex Luthor. I'm going to come into this show and issue this big, dire warning. I'm going to go to Legends and eat some fucking popcorn because look at these assholes. You know,
it's just... Exactly. So good. Also good. This deserves a rewatch fairly soon, I think.
I'm not going to start with season 1. I'm going to do it.
Whoa, okay. Just...
I remember in season 1, I think it was like the first episode, when I was like, this show is never going to work because that crossover was terrible. And they're in a bar in the 70s.
Right, and they start and doing... Like, yeah.
Yeah, and they get into like a fight. And, you know, like, Captain Cole's just like, whatever, I'm just drinking my beer. And I was like, you know, there's something in here that could work.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, but it could have, is all I'm saying.
Precisely. Yeah, that is probably the moment at which you get, like, a vague glimpse of what Legends could be and eventually ended up becoming. I tried
also,
watching
don't forget,
season,
there is...
season, and it was yeah. really great. It was really not
sure,
great.
But
just warning.
I mean, I've rewatched like Gilmore Girls, so.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I've rewatched terrible shit before, and I'll do it again. you won't stop me. No, there's, I don't know. Hey, there's room for it. What was I gonna say? I just. Like, I kind of love some of the Arrowverse shit when it's terrible as well.
Yeah, I get that.
But also, there is a comic out, which is sort of like this weird mini-series. I forget what the hell it's called right now. But it's touching on each of the Arrowverse shows.
And there is a Legends bit.
There's going to be a Legends one. I do know from like what I've heard about it that it is a terrible way to kind of cap off Legends. Like, it has nothing to do with the current season.
Of course.
I believe it actually has the Hawks in it, for God's sake.
Oh, fuck's sake.
That, by the way, is, I did see a few people who were like, yeah, the show sucked ever since, like, you know, Hawkman left.
What?
And I was like, was this posted by Hawkman? Like, not even the actor, just the character somehow is possessing people.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
But there has been some talk of, like, well, maybe they could do, like, a comic book wrap-up. Like, a mini-series, something like that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever.
Sure.
So, there's who knows? It's Legends. I firmly believe they will find the weirdest way possible. Because, like, even the co-showrunner was like, you know, like, maybe we'll find a way to do this. It's like, you know, like a miniseries, or a comic book, or a radio drama. And I'm like, this is what's going to happen. Is it's going to be like a fucking, like terrestrial radio drama. Like, it won't even be online. It'll just be like, tune into this fucking FM station to listen to the end of Legends.
You know, that wouldn't, I mean, I'd love that, and it would not surprise me. You know,
also, we're going to release it on cassette.
Nice.
I've been seeing a lot of releases on cassette recently, by the way.
That's... Honestly, that seems like such an unlikely nostalgia object, but what isn't these days? What
right,
isn't
eligible? Like, it's becoming a nostalgia thing. And I'm like, no, see, here's my problem. I get the LP nostalgia, as much as I'm not into it.
Right, exactly.
Because, again, I started there. I'm not going to rebuy everything I've already bought, like, for the fifth time, you know. I've had so many format switches in my life, I'm done. And I agree, like, some things like Jazz and all this sound better, right? Fuller Spectrum and all this.
Yep.
If you have the speaker system and the overall thing to support it, it's great. People who get, like, an LP player and then get, like, a shitty fucking suitcase, goddamn record player, like, yeah, you know, records just sound better. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. But if you have the system to support it, totally, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's fine. But... cassettes? I'm like, no, I lived through the start and the end of cassettes. There ain't nothing they did better.
Yeah, I know. They were, they're like the VHS of, like, you know, of this technology.
Well, yeah, because Minidisc was so much nicer, right?
Oh, yeah. And I remember digital audio tapes? Like, that was actually really good sound quality.
Yeah.
But
well, that's what I meant by Minidisc, right? Like the DATs?
Oh, yeah, DATs. That's, okay, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, DAT Minidisc.
Oh, okay.
I
did not realize that a minidisc was a DAT. Well, what do I know?
I don't think it actually is. It was just the term was conflated for a while.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, it is not the same thing at all.
Okay, and I feel better now. So I was seriously concerned for my own memory there.
Yeah, no. It really...
But I remember minidiscs as well. They were also
actual
good sound quality.
Yes. Well, I know a lot of recording places that still use DATs.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it doesn't do the CD compression at all. It doesn't do the MP3 compression.
And it doesn't degrade copies, and et cetera, et cetera. Right. It's a great technology.
Yeah, no, DAT is still in use, is the thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember when, like, Sony had the DAT Walkman.
Yes.
And it was, like, the problem was, like, nothing was being released on it, and you didn't want to just, like, copy... You could get stuff that would, like, copy your cassettes to, but why would you do that?
Yeah, I know, yes.
Like, put your shittier media in this more expensive format and get no benefit from it. Okay? But yeah, no, that's it, right? Like, cassettes, like, again, and at the time I loved it because it was, like, they were portable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when CDs started becoming a thing, it was, I stayed on cassettes. As far as, like, Walkmans were concerned and all that for a long time because CD Walkmans skipped.
Oh, my God. They were terrible. I hated that so much.
So, yeah, there was a lot to recommend cassettes at the time. But that was 20, 30 years ago.
That was then. Exactly.
Yeah.
We found better things since.
I mean, I will say that the one benefit I will say that I think cassettes had over... CDs, in terms of portability or even just like I'm going to sit around and listen to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly, again, it's not audio quality. But it's that you'd buy an album, and because you couldn't really just skip a song easily.
That's true.
And there are a number of albums that, to this day, that like I first heard on cassette and would carry with me, that had songs I started off hating that I ended up like being some of my favorite songs.
Oh, interesting.
That, and I mean, I do that now with like albums still, because I'm an old, right?
Right.
So I buy whole albums, and when I do, I spend a lot of time just listening to the albums in order. And there were always like songs that you're like, eh, is this a great song? And sometimes they end up being your favorite songs after you listen to them for a while, because something about them unlocks
yeah.
with familiarity.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But please, please do not bring back cassettes too much. That is what a terrible idea. Like,
it's a big thing, and because I do a lot of stuff on Bandcamp these days, there's a lot of really good, hard to find, like obviously, right, like obscure small band funk stuff going on mm-hmm. on Bandcamp, and also a lot of various synthwave.
Huh.
I have found I kind of love like cheesy retrowave because I'm like the 80s never sounded like this,
mm-hmm.
but they did in our heart.
Yes, exactly.
And God damn it, I will happily let you make that sound happen again in my head, right?
Right.
There's just something, like, as someone who lived through it, just funny and nostalgic about it.
Yeah, and I love the idea that they're actually taking that the technology of the time and turning those its peculiarities and its characteristics into its own sound.
Right.
I always thought that was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like even just trying to capture like this is what the 80s were, is like, but it wasn't. But again, like it's what we all think the 80s sounded like if you look back.
Exactly. And frankly, a lot of that stuff that people are doing now that is sort of nostalgically capturing 80s stuff,
yeah.
a lot of it's better than the shit from the 80s. There was so much garbage music in the 80s. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. No. And that's it. It's like, so there's a lot of, like, retrowave, you mm-hmm. know. And like I said, like, I like all the little waves, you know. All synthwave stuff is like, you know, there's a bunch of, like, dark wave that is kind of like retrowave in the, this is what goth music sounded like. I'm like, it never did. But it kind of should have, you mm-hmm. know. Like, this is kind of fun. So there's a lot of that, too. And Bandcamp, again, has, like, tons of it. But one of the things you can do on Bandcamp, if you didn't know, was there's also, like, if you have a band, you can also sell, like, you know, merch, which mm-hmm. in a lot of bands' cases is, here's an LP edition or a CD of the music you're buying.
Right.
But almost every, like, especially the synthwave stuff, has cassettes.
You know, I understand. I can get with that, frankly.
Right. Like, with the retrowave stuff, like, I'm like, that's the closest I've come to being like, oh, okay. But also, fuck you. You know, yeah.
don't
bring this shit back. You're better than this.
Yeah, you buy it, you put it in your cassette player, and immediately like just jams up your entire machine. And like, ah, fuck. Now I remember. I remember why I hated this.
I do own one cassette still. At my day job, we had for I don't know many many years. A portable CD double cassette player that was mine from the 90s.
Ooh.
And we would just listen to it because it had a radio.
Ah, yeah.
And then we moved away from that and started doing, like, you know, Pandora and all that, right?
Right.
But I always kept a cassette in it. Just in case, because the CD player part didn't work well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like whenever, you know, because that players never die, really. And it was like whenever people were like, oh, I would like sick of the radio or whatever, I would just hit play on the cassette. And it was just the one cassette.
Mm-hmm.
So when I, you know, moved, we had to get rid of that player. I just took the cassette, and I still have it up in a closet.
Huh.
It is, of course, the Beastie Boys, the In Sound from Way Out.
Oh, fuck, I love that so much.
Right, like, it's the compilation of all of their, you know, instrumental stuff.
I know.
and I just still have that one cassette. That's the only cassette I own.
That was always like a gateway drug, I know, for a lot of people who claim not to like the Beastie Boys. But
yeah,
I like the Beastie Boys anyway. But it was
one of my favorite things when I saw them live. Actually, was it like mid show?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of wheeled out this kind of sub stage, and then did a bunch of the instrumental stuff live.
Oh, sweet!
And then like moved off the sub stage and went back to the normal show. Like it was like they built in their own intermission.
Wow! Oh, I love it.
But everyone, of course, was really into it because that's great shit. Anyway, moving on from whatever the hell we've been talking about.
That's right.
Which somehow, like, cassettes, I don't know what happened to us. So Superman and Lois! I appreciate that last week we got the, you know, back on our Earth without Clark.
Uh-huh.
And this week we catch up with Bizarro World, and we're officially calling it Bizarro stuff.
And the earth is a cube, and the sun is a cube.
I had to pause that to be like, did they really do that? I just like, oh, no. I was so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because like so much of what they're doing isn't actually Bizarro.
Right.
But they're still going to give you the occasional random Bizarro moment out of it, which.
Yeah, it's one of those episodes where I'm like, I'm really enjoying this. And I can see they're making all kinds of decisions. Like, they clearly sat down and said, okay, what is our Bizarro World going to look like? What's it going to do?
Right.
Like, and how stupid is it going to be at certain points? Like the magazine with all, like, the stuff backwards, you know, all the letters backwards.
Well, all the writing that you see in the episode.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, when you stop and think about it for even a moment, you're like, that is the dumbest thing ever. But I didn't care. It was great.
All backwards.
I actually paused on the magazine when they're reading when Jonathan gets his spread in T magazine or whatever, and I was looking at the stuff, and the back shows a car and says how to survive your midlife crisis in style, and another was like nice. how to look better than your friends was like or something like that was another one. I was like, this is good. So sort of, and everybody was sort of like dressed like they had just wandered off the set of Lost Girl. I thought that was hilarious.
Just right, like it was like this weird, like okay, well, Bizarro World is just goth as fuck.
Yeah, I know, so good.
And I'm here for it. That's the thing.
Yeah,
is they were having so much goddamn fun.
Yeah, and they weren't like evil or anything. They were just really, really goth about everything.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just, like, casually wore a bunch of, like, leather and, like, you know, things with, like, little pointless buttons all over them. So much fun. Just absolutely fantastic.
Like, I also love that they put Jonathan in, like, the 90s Superboy outfit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the red pants, the belts, the t-shirt. Yep. Would just come this
way. Yep.
I was just like, well, okay. This is where we're going. It was a lot of fun, and I thought that they really did a good job of, you know who these characters are normally in the show. Let us shorthand who they are over here, but in a really nice way.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I give them major credit for, like, you know, we have them being like, okay, we're going to go back to Earth, and we're going to do this stuff, and then we cut to, let's cut back to, what's his face? Morgan Edge. And show, like, how he was about to turn and why. But it's that hard cut from this dead serious to, like, this kind of, like, honky-tonk music because they're at that bar.
Right.
And it was just a really funny cut. Like, and obviously on purpose. But I was just, you know, proud of them for it. Because it was a really good cut.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, this was a real, I don't know, it was probably one of the most enjoyable, like, hours of Superman and Lois for me.
In a while, yeah. That's it. Like, this season has been, like, really, really good all along.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, it felt like a classic Superman story, in a weird way.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah. I do wonder if this is how we're going to get Jonathan Powers. is the whole merging thing.
Maybe.
You know, if we actually do get empowers, who knows?
That would make sense. I mean, that's I can see that.
Also, I kind of love, like, talking about the whole, like, they've gone goth, is exactly how crappy the wig they put on Betsy Tulloch was.
That was amazing. That was such a bad wig.
I was fascinated by the, is this supposed to be a bad wig?
Oh.
Or do they did they not mean it? And I couldn't decide?
I know. And let's talk about Jordan's emo goth getup. Holy shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That was amazing. The hair.
I was like, oh, you brave soul, you. That's a way to commit.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it was like, go form the Killjoys, motherfucker. What the hell?
Oh, so
yeah,
good.
That was...
So good.
It really was. But yeah, like, it's like the whole episode was just... beat after beat of good fun TV,
mm-hmm.
and they use that, you know, standard kind of, we're gonna catch up with every single person, and like they caught the right moments.
Yeah,
you know, it was always additive. It was always smart. You don't get that a lot.
No. The one set of details that, or the one detail that bugged me is that. Superman's cape in Bizarro World was tattered already. And I was like, oh, I thought the passage between dimensions was what did it, but okay, he's just got a tattered cape. All right.
Well, it's, I mean, because especially at that point, like, he was like the drug addict on kryptonite and the whole thing.
I kind of like that detail, that he looked like he did, not because everybody in Bizarro World looks like that, but because...
Right.
He became an addict. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's like it made everything make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, like, you know, his family did love, like, he wasn't evil, he was trying, it was...
Right, that also made sense of the, like, for example, when, what's her face, the other reporter, I can never remember the character's name, sort of
I know her last name was like Beppo because that's the super monkey, and it always confuses me why they did that.
Who knows? But when Ali Alston shows her the other dimension, she's like, there's this other world. And Ali's, and I'm like, and does it, why aren't you mentioned that everybody looks like all fucked up like Bizarro Superman? And the answer is they don't. So,
right.
Although she could have said it, and everybody's super goth, but I guess not. I wandered into a hot topic. The whole world.
It's the hot topic dimension.
Oh, so good. No, that was a lot of fun.
And now we're reaching kind of the end game of the season, you know, in a couple episodes, I think. Because I don't know if it's 13 or 15, do you?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to remember. Let me look it up really quick. You can, I'm sure, hear me typing.
Yep.
Yeah, like in January, like it, they never revealed the actual full number.
Odd.
Yeah. Well, does anything have it? It's 15.
15. Oh, there we go. Okay, cool.
We just had 10.
Oof. So we're now in the final run of the season.
Yeah, it's going to go, according to what I'm looking at, May 3rd and then another break. Because it'll go May 3rd and then May 31st.
Oh, okay.
Which sucks. We'll have another 3 weeks off.
Yeah, well, just have to wait.
And then a straight run through the end of June.
Cool. So obviously they're going to wrap up this storyline with the next episode. No. No, will it be another cliffhanger?
I think so, because like the next to last episode is called World War Bizarro.
Oh, I love it.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Anyway, I also watched Flash.
And.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I've liked the show, and I feel like the show is kind of starting to feel its age. Mm-hmm. And I understand next season's supposed to probably be their last season. Everyone knows this.
Right.
It might be for the best. Like, the show is just... it's starting to feel tired. Like, everyone on the show is starting to feel tired.
Oh, yeah. That's always... it's always a shame when you can sort of see the... sort of the exhaustion on people's faces. Like, why are we going through this again?
But also, like, I mean, fucking Grant Gustin. Like, I mean, most of the, I don't know, at least half of the fucking cast has been doing this for going on 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Please, God, send them to Valhalla. they have put in their time. Can we not free them? Do they not deserve happiness?
No, they must. They must serve more time in purgatory.
Yeah, just like, come on, let them go. It'll be okay. So that's kind of where I am with the show. Is just the God, let them go.
Stop! They're already dead. Yeah. Oh, fair enough. That's
It's not that it's terrible. Like, I don't know. I've just kind of reached that. I watch it because it's not terrible. Yeah, that's sort of where I am.
It's just not terrible. That's all right. That will do.
Yeah. So. But they also did continue the whole, like, they gave him the boots, and they had to make the boots meaningful. That stupidity.
Ugh, okay, sure.
And so we had to, like, use the boots again. I'm like, just can we not just have boots? Why are we not allowed just to have boots?
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Then he gets his blaster, then Chewbacca, then his name. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Then his anyway.
Anyway.
So yeah, there was also some Young Justice, God knows.
Yay, there's always some good Young Justice.
Yeah, that's a show that doesn't feel tired.
No. No, I'm liking this. I've been looking forward to the Black Canary, Beast Boy, or Dinah and Gar therapy session.
Right.
So it doesn't disappoint. I find this is
no.
I don't know why that Black Canary doing therapy sessions is some of my most favorite things.
Yeah, I mean, well, they started it in season one, right?
Yep, yes.
And they just found this sweet spot that, like, no one in the comics uses. Like, that's the thing. It's like, this is a wholly them thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lovely use of the character.
Yeah, exactly. I liked in the, during the therapy sessions when she says she just has boxes to check off. And you know full well that this is not at all what she's going to do. But you see her checking the paper, and then at one point the camera pulls out, and the paper's completely blank, except for some check marks that she's put on there, just to sort of go through those motions before she can actually sort of dig into, you know, to guard the trauma. Yeah, so that was, I loved that. Yeah, that was just wonderful.
Yeah, no, there's so much to like about the show.
Also, Forager's Romeo and Juliet monologue.
Forager is
the sun.
Yeah, Forager talking about Forager. Jesus Christ, making any of those conversations make sense has become such a fun game for them.
I know.
Like, obviously, right? They're just like, oh, now we can just fuck around.
I know. I also love the. The Forager saying, you know, I have to, you know, decide whether to go back home or stay here and with Forager, and Rocket's like, you've only known her for 2 days, and it's like, yes, I've wasted so much time already.
So cool. It was just adorable.
Yeah, it is adorable. I mean, I hope Forager goes back home to the Earth Hive, but I also hope Forager stays with Forager. I don't know. I'm just romantic.
Yeah, I could, you know, I'm good either way, so long as Forager and Forager are happy.
Mm-hmm. And we have Malefic and Lore and whatnot, and Mantis get in the Phantom Zone projector, which is a way out for Superboy. And
yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Superboy will be committed to Jazzard by that time.
Okay, can we also discuss the one weird moment in this episode?
Sure.
The Phantom Zone Kryptonian criminals all turning into a fucking, like, Disney dwarf song?
That was a little weird.
Like, I wasn't sure if that was, like, a hallucination or...
I mean, we push for Zod, we work for Zod.
It's like, what the fuck are we doing?
But that's the thing about Young Justice. Like, they make a ton of really, like, great decisions and do take all sorts of creative, like, leaps. And
yeah,
almost all of the time, it pays off really well.
Right.
And sometimes you get the Oompa Loompa Zods.
Yeah, like, it's not often, but it happens, and yeah, it is always confusing.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of them having sort of a chant, but I don't know. It was like,
but yeah, Oompa Loompa Zods is the perfect way to describe it, and it just makes zero sense.
I know. But yeah, because if I were Superboy, and they'd said, well, and Zod had turned to me and said, well, what do you think? I would have been like, yeah, I'm going to keep leaping into the unknown. Give me back
right, like, and if they use it that way, if they use it that way, like, eventually Superboy's like, no, like, I'm out of here, like, you know, whatever, like, I never trusted you, like, what? What gave us away? He's like, did you fucking hear your creepy-ass Oompa Loompa shit? Like, that's when I was like, these people ain't right. You know, if they actually use it that way,
yeah,
all is forgiven. But
that would be fun. Yeah, you know, but still enjoyed overall. Very much enjoyed the whole episode, and
yeah,
I just like the way that Young Justice handles any of the New God stuff. I mean, they just do a better job,
yes,
of it than pretty much any other sort of cartoon or movie I've seen.
Right, like they have figured out what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, they ever since the first season, frankly.
Yeah.
They've always just had fun with, let's play with the New God stuff in a very big way.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting, of course, is there are only 6 episodes left.
Hmm. So who's...
Which, to me, means that the next episode is going to be the last of the New Gods episodes.
Yep, probably.
And then we'll have 5 episodes, and there's only one main character who has not led a short yet.
You know, I can't remember which one it is.
Nightwing.
Ah, of course.
Which makes sense, that he would get the last 5, because everything comes together, and here we go.
Right. That's gonna be I like Nightwing on Young Justice, so that'll be good.
Oh yeah, he's
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like Nightwing in almost everything that Nightwing is in.
I know you're a Nightwing stan.
But this version of Nightwing, again, like, part of the reason I first loved Young Justice when it was in its very awkward early phase was the idea of just Robin being this kid who just melted into shadows, and then there's just creepy laughter and feet.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little bit some horror movie aspects to it. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was very much like, this is what happens if you make a small child a ninja.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking terrifying.
Right. And then, you know, straight on through him becoming, you know, Nightwing and leading the team and just feeling, even though he's like 5 years younger than the rest of his own team, going about how he's too old for this shit. Because he's been doing it longer.
Right.
It's just, it's such a great version of Nightwing.
I agree.
So yeah, really looking forward to how they're going to wrap this season. They still don't officially have season 5.
Whew. That's true.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, fingers crossed.
But again, it's fairly popular, so...
Yeah, and sometimes it takes a long time for a season of Young Justice to come around, so, yeah.
Right, let's say, it's like, yeah, it's animation, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly.
So what else has been going on?
What else? Oh, hey, remember, just before I forget, Moon Knight.
Oh, that's right, yeah, before we forget,
yeah.
Moon Knight. Moon
yeah,
Knight
I mean,
happened again.
To be honest, I'm enjoying Moon Knight, I don't have a whole lot to say about it.
I think the only thing I have... Yeah.
I like Tuaret, the hippo goddess.
Yes.
She's very fun.
I am still enjoying Moon Knight. I think Moon Knight managed to head nod toward the fact that Mark is Jewish while still bungling the fact that Mark is Jewish.
Fair enough. Yeah, there's some sort of, you know, bits. How did they bungle it? I'm curious, because I just thought...
It's one of these weird things in the comics, because, of course, his mother is not Jewish, which means that technically Mark isn't Jewish.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Except in the comics, his father's a rabbi.
Ah.
So it kind of makes sense. Also, in the comics, you have that push and pull of, here's this kid whose dad is a rabbi who was raised Jewish, who's working for an Egyptian deity, given that the Egyptians enslaved the Jews. Right, and there's a lot of meat right there. And this show is completely going to be like, well, whatever, fuck it. He's kind of a Jew, and there's Egyptians, and who cares?
Yeah, they're not going
to
get into
it. And that's fair. I don't expect them to get into it. It's a much bigger, weirder thing.
Yeah.
But, and while I appreciate that we're going to, you know, mention him being Jewish at all, right, it really felt kind of offhand and just, oh, we have to add this in quickly.
Right.
Which, at that point, it felt like we had to add this in quickly because otherwise people would have been mad, rather than any kind of bit of story with it. And that just felt wasted. For all that, I think it was a really good episode.
Yeah.
I am not sure why we are still teasing Jake.
Yeah, I thought for sure that's what we would get in this episode.
Yeah, we are still teasing him. Everyone knows that the character exists. I don't know what they think they're doing at this point with it.
It's it almost feels like people making fun of the Batman movie for not showing Paul Dano's face for so long, and people being like, who would have thought? I don't know. There's some.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is, right? Like, it's come on.
Yeah.
Everyone involved knows where this is going.
Yeah, stop teasing something that just isn't a tease, basically.
Right. No one gains anything from that.
Nope.
But, again, it's still a lot of fun. I am fascinated in good ways by having a Marvel thing just be a standalone thing, right? Like, is there a Kang tease in there? Totally.
Sure.
And I love it because it means we get Rama Tut eventually.
Okay.
One of the gang members that threatens him has like this Egyptian art piece on the back of his denim jacket. That's very much like a pharaoh's head, but it's in Kang colors.
Okay.
And so everyone's like, okay, that's a Rama Tut joke. And we'll take it. You know, there's references to shit like the blip, whatever, that's fine, but it really is standalone.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it is refreshing at this point.
Yeah.
Not to have to. I mean, we've still got an episode to go, so who the fuck knows?
We open up the next episode, it's like fucking Moon Knight sitting there with like all the Avengers just being like, so then let me tell you what happened next.
Or they
was like,
they,
what? What the fuck?
Or they just throw him into like that scene from the Avengers where they're all, you know, where the camera's circling around them in New York City. But this time, Moon Knight's just there. No, it's Stephen Grant is there. Hello.
Yeah. He just looks up at one point. He's like, "That a helicarrier?" You know, just.
I'm trying to find my way to the Empire State Building. It's kind of mad.
Have you seen Ultron?
You look like New Yorkers. All right, later. It's that's the funny thing. When I was it when you're in New York City. If you don't look like a hapless tourist, you get like bombarded by people. That's I always did when I was there. I would get people coming up to me constantly going, "Hey, where is such and such a place?" I'd be like,
"Oh, that's any city." Clue. Like when I first moved to Boston,
it was
like
more
I figured
so
out how to triangulate stuff. Was it? Because yeah, like I've always just figured it was every city. Because like you know, I'll go to like I said, like when I first moved to Boston, it was happening to me. When I first moved here, if I was wandering around like downtown, especially.
Really?
And not looking lost just because I knew generally where I was headed. Like, I didn't really know, but I knew, like, it's kind of over there, and I don't worry about that.
Right.
And people would be like, oh, do you know where this thing is? I'd be like, no. God help me. I could not at all, like, assist on this. But yeah, anyway. There's one episode of Moonlighting left to do.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, now I kind of want to redo this show and add like Sybil Shepherd and call it Moonlighting.
I would not say no to that. That would be highly.
I might have to mock up that poster later.
Oh my god. But Bruce and Bruce Willis as well in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. As
just like add Moon Knight to it. Or just Oscar Isaac in general.
Yep. Any of those things. Hey, there's something a little off topic.
Okay.
Inspired by the drop of the Strange New Worlds opening.
Yes.
Which looks great. I loved it.
It really does.
Yeah. I was heartened by the... I saw something go, oh, it's just all nostalgia. I'm like, shut up. Shut up.
Yes.
It's awesome.
It kind of sort of is, but also, yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But I was... I've discovered a podcast that I'm enjoying called Unclear and Present Danger. It's with Jamel Bowie is the one of the co-hosts. He's a New York Times culture columnist, and he also, I think, for some site, he reviews breakfast cereal.
Sure.
Anyway, and it's quite funny. But he has this podcast, which is focuses on sort of thrillers, like action thrillers from the 90s. From things that sort of reflect on the post-Cold War sort of geopolitical sort of climate. So there's things like The Russia House and Clear and Present Danger. But
right.
One of the recent episodes, they talked about Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country.
Mm.
And I had forgotten just how much I enjoy that film and want to see it again now.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, it was... one of the things they pointed out, and I sort of kind of knew this, but they had the Star Trek movies at that time always followed that pattern of there's a good one that's successful, so they make another one that absolutely right. bombs. So in order to get over the humiliation from the one that bombed, they make another one that's good and is successful, and then another one that bombs horribly. And I was like, yeah, that's... I remember that. I remember that pattern. I remember going to see Star Trek V in the theater maybe a month before I left the Maritimes for Western Canada. And being like, what the fuck is this? I actually had a good time, but I was like, what the fuck is this? So,
you know, five is like, that thing is like, I think, you know, people are way too harsh about three.
Which one was three?
The search for Spock?
Yeah, that was all right.
Like, I mean, yes, coming out of the con, it was not as good.
Yeah.
But also, it was a perfectly good fucking... You know what I mean?
I know. I was always surprised when people talked smack about that. I'm like, it was fine. You know, I'm not sure anything gets to the heights of episode four or, you know, the fourth one, which people either love or hate, but.
Yeah. And again, like as a kid, I didn't really like it much because I thought mm-hmm. it was too silly.
Yeah. Although when I saw it later on, I appreciated the jokes a lot more.
Well, exactly. Like, and I realized like that it is what Star Trek has always been,
mm-hmm.
and it's fantastic.
Yeah, he's done a little. He did a little too much LDS. I don't know. That joke always stuck with me. But anyway, yeah, no. They talk in depth about episode or six, The Undiscovered Country, and yeah, I'm just like, wow, I've really want to see that one again. But apparently they had a very restricted budget for that, and they had to sort of really make a do with very little, and like just reusing a bunch of props and sets from other shows to like stitch everything together. So anyway,
I get it, and again, I'm looking good
for all that. So
yeah, no, like four was great, but yeah, five is the one I hated. that was also the one that Shatner directed.
That was the one. That was the "What Does God Need with the Spaceship?" one. Yes.
Yep. Well, and my single like funniest moment that I've almost worn out on a videotape back in the day, when he's in jail with Spock, and you know he's like, trying to figure out like why Spock hid the news about his brother, and he goes, "Why, Spock? Why?" And if you watch it, he like shrugs his shoulders and shoves both of his hands forward when he says it, each "why." And the first one, he just kind of like shrugs and like his hands move forward. And the second one, he like comes off of his seat. It's like, "Why, Spock? Why?" And it's just one of the funniest goddamn line readings I've ever seen.
Damn. Nothing better than William Shatner directing William Shatner.
William Shatner, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But anyway.
Yes. So it was good. I also just mentioned I saw a couple of things. I saw the first three episodes of The Shining Girls on Apple TV.
Nice.
This is based on Lauren Buick's novel about a time-hopping serial killer and the woman that got away, essentially.
Right.
The one that survived the being serial killed. And just got serial wounded, I guess. I don't know how to put it. I was very happy. I really liked the novel when I read it. I know that Lauren Buick has come out with some pretty crappy opinions about some stuff, but whatever. I like the novel. And so I was really looking forward to the show.
Right.
And the show is compelling, but it's kind of odd because the thing is, the serial killer, Harper, in the novel, essentially he's this depression-era shitheel that stumbles upon this house in Chicago. And it turns out to be this sort of house that's sort of out of time, and it sort of kind of wants Harper to go around and kill women, specifically women who shine, who have sort of potential to be great. And he sort of follows the house, but I mean, Harper himself is an evil, shitheel son of a bitch. So it all works out fine for him. And so it starts from the point of view of the main character of Kirby, who survives his attempt to kill her, and how she's coping. And then it switches to his point of view, so you understand very quickly what's happening and how he sort of is able to leap around in time and confound everybody's attempts to like pin him down or catch him or anything. The series makes a very different decision. It does not they have the first three episodes out of eight, but they're not revealing that information. He's just somehow seems to have foreknowledge, and then they show some like scenes out of sequence, or they'll show them from one point of view and then another, but they will not really tell you what's going on. So you have to if you're not looking carefully, in fact, if you turn your head away and then turn your head back to the screen, you risk getting completely lost.
Gotcha.
Which is, I don't know, it's a choice.
It is.
And the other thing they do, and I don't know if this was in the novel or not, but I don't remember it from the novel, is that because Kirby survives the assault, she seems to have some of sort of the time-hopping or dimension-hopping powers, but it's not a power. She simply, her reality is out of control. Like, she has a desk, at the Sun-Times, in the basement, and then she'll come to work, but her desk will be elsewhere, or she'll have a dog, then it's a cat. And then the changes, multiply, and she says at one point, the changes start small, then they're big, and then I don't know what's going on. And
weird.
It's weird, but it's the way it sort of works on a metaphorical level is kind of genius, because, when she's questioned as to her attack, and she's asked for corroborating details. She can't give any because her reality changes. So she's the ultimate unreliable witness to her own assault, because she cannot vouch for any detail of her world because it can simply shift in a moment out from under her. And that conceit is amazing. And I'm like, why has nobody done this before in this way? Because it's brilliant. But at the same time, it's a little, it's just really confusing. And I think they're basically, I think they, when they made this show, they're like, their ideal audience is a very attentive and obsessive watcher. But the problem is they also, the pace is so slow that frankly, you kind of, your attention wanders. And it, I feel like it's various things that, like they should, it should have been a basically it should have been a movie or maybe four episodes and then it would have been absolutely perfect. But as it is, the slow burn kind of actually makes the viewing experience a little bit of a slog. But I mean, I'm sticking with it. I'll watch it again. And if it's good enough, I might watch it again because it might reward a second viewing. So, hey,
nice.
Shining Girls. Elizabeth Moss is the main character and the, and I think, executive producer. So, so it's sort of, it's very much of an Elizabeth Moss sort of production with, you know, sort of the woman fighting for like self-determination, in a world that's shifting. So yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm not sure I would completely recommend it, but it's certainly really fascinating.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, on that note, we're kind of hitting time, so
we are time. Yeah, we are indeed.
And I know I have some stuff I need to take care of. I'm sure you do as well. So we can stop and play some music and come back next week with, you know, more stuff.
More stuff. As
woo!
Always. Wonderful. Woohoo!
All right. Music. Woo!
Music.